today on Real Radio.
Whose number's right? No number's right. God is the one who presides over it all. People are born and people die. Who governs that? God does. What's man trying to do? Manage that himself.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up, Pastor Jack finishes up his talk on what is environmentalism with this challenge: don't give up on the truth. Question, test, and discern biblically the direction our culture is headed. Environmentalism cannot save us. It's a deception not based on science, but based on the very act of worshiping nature. Pastor Jack inspires us towards caring for our planet, but reminds us that we are not its savior. The creator of the universe is, and his salvation is made available for all of us if we'll but put our trust in him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Lord brings us out of this lunacy. But when a person says, I'm not going to believe in Jesus, I'm not going to believe in the God of the Bible, that's crazy. Have you noticed in your experience that when somebody says no to Christ long enough, they say yes to the craziest things? You know why? I believe Romans chapter 1 is true. God gives them over to a reprobate mind. And when you read Romans chapter 1, you keep reading it, what happens to their reprobate mind? They begin, the Bible says, to exercise themselves, listen, in a lewd fashion. Isn't it strange? Listen, hear me out. In a lewd fashion, they start to practice illicit sex, unnatural sex, and they begin to worship and serve the creation, it says, rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. I think it's just a spiral down unless you cry out to Christ, and that's broken. Why? Because when people give up on the truth, they'll believe the silliest things. It's the strangest but very powerful thing. And so I think Paul is warning that there's these strange doctrines, and environmentalism is a doctrine. It's not based on science, ladies and gentlemen. You saw the graphs last week, and that was just a small sample. They built for themselves, as I mentioned earlier in 1 Kings 14:23, high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images. You guys, all of those things dealt with, and all those things that have been unearthed, those wooden images, those things made of stone, they were all environment, that the worship of nature with those gods of nature, and they were all sexual carvings. Do I need to elaborate what I'm talking about? They were carvings of fertility, I'll put it that way. I have seen that pagan system in action of all places in the United States of America. There's a phallic symbol on the island of Molokai. What's the name of it? Molokai. Who vacations there? Nobody. It's an island that is given over to the natives of ancient Polynesian practices. Throughout the Polynesian realm, there's over 1,000 gods that are worshipped. And right at the peak of that rainforest mountain is a stone carved like a you-know-what. And they worship there. And you say, no way! Yeah, way. No, not Yahweh, but they would be saved if it was Yahweh, but it's not what they're doing. This is hard for some people to swallow, but it is in fact a doctrine. And when should a doctrine be warded off and be warned of? You say, well, how am I supposed to know? Well, that's why we're having a worldview series. We need to be biblically based in our thinking. See, you and I live in a culture right now that is so far from the Bible that what people say, listen, it's very, very serious, the age we're living in right now. We think that we're being very, very modern and very, very civilized to not question anything, to not test anything, to not call anything into question, or to discern it. God forbid somebody should stand up in our culture and say, Is this the right direction we should be going? Oh, you can't do that. You'll be a narrow-minded, bigoted, knuckle-dragging, fundamental nincompoop. You know what I'm talking about? Well, we want to be tolerant. Our culture doesn't know what that word means. So things are thrown up into the air. We don't know how they're going to land. And we call this our culture today. And you can't do that very long until the bill comes due. When you tell a child, you know what, Junior, you're so cool. We just love you so much. We're going to let you decide how to live your life, where to live it, when to live it. And you just make your own decisions, and we want you to find your own way. Well, first of all, gee, is this true? Let's ask. The Bible says a child left to himself will bring reproach to his parents. Is that true? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that a culture disintegrates when every man does what is right in his own eyes. Do we not live in a culture like that? Well, I just want to express myself. But yet reason and logic proves to us that we're wrong. I'm not speaking about you. I'm talking about our culture. Don't mention God. No, you can't say Bible. Don't say the name Jesus. We all evolved. We're just animals. And then some animal brings a gun to class and kills somebody. And everybody goes, how could this happen? How in the world? Well, you just told the kid yesterday he was an animal. It's the survival of the fittest. Isn't that crazy? It's wild. Okay, get ready. I'm going to have you guys see some stuff and learn some stuff, and we'll put an end to this. When should indoctrination begin? Before I show you something, when should an indoctrination begin? Anyone want to take a guess? When should indoctrination? You know what indoctrination is, right? Teaching. When should teaching begin? How young? Who said birth? Right on. At birth. Say, what? Yeah. I can't give you maybe you can find it later. It so begins at birth, indoctrination. There's a study that was done. In fact, the one who cited it was Dr. Wayne Grudem. It may be in that book of his, I'm not sure, or when I heard him speak. But there was a culture, a clan, a village, somewhere in the jungles of South America. And when the village or when the culture was discovered, sociologists observed the culture for 3 years. And there were children that were selected by the culture and children that were rejected by the culture at birth. And the children that were rejected by the culture were not coddled, they were not held, they were not taken care of. They weren't killed, but they were given food, they were given water, but they were not touched, they were not spoken to. And the study shows that by the age of 3, they all died. And there was no reason why they should have died. They had food, they had clothing. They had coverings. And the argument went on to show that we as humans, we have to be touched and loved. And did you know that a child, from the moment a child is born, is receiving incredible technology from a touch? A child has got to be held, got to be nurtured, got to be spoken to. The more a child is loved on, the more confident they are. Before the kid can read, the kid already knows this. There are things built in to the reception of nurturing. When does indoctrination begin? When does teaching begin? The moment you hold that baby. And that's a very powerful truth. And so, listen, I'm going to ask you to control yourself right now with what I'm about to show you. So, keep this in mind. This is from Animal Planet. You know what Animal Planet is? It's a nature show. And this is Animal Planet for kids. And ask yourself, be thinking, what's the point to this? Eat a healthy, balanced diet. Okay, shouldn't we? Should we not eat a healthy, balanced diet? Okay, number 2. We need to protect the planet. Did you read that? Right at the end. You need to protect the planet. Okay, that was Animal Planet Kids. That woman said, and you were laughing, you couldn't hear her. That woman said, we need to protect the planet from unnecessary greenhouse gases. You laugh, but there's no dairyman in this sanctuary right now laughing over that right there. Why? Because it has put many dairies in California out of business. What? A cartoon? No. From the international environmental influence, every cattle in the state of California, now the rancher, the farmer, has to pay a tax, a gas tax, on the cow's farts. I'm not kidding. Who invents this stuff? It comes from environmental thinking. How did we ever get to this part of human development? Having cows around. We've been at danger the whole time. Look how scary it's been. But see, indoctrination, where does this begin? You guys, I know it's a very cute little funny cartoon, and this little cow flying around. Oh, it's so cute. Do you see what it put into the mind of the kid? So the little kid goes over to mommy and says, you know, mommy, cows are bad. That's the conclusion. Cows are bad. My Bible told me earlier, I read it to you in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3. God says, listen, he made cattle after their own kind. Bad God, right? He made cattle. You have to come to a grip with this. Either God does not know what he's doing, or you're the savior of a planet, or he does know what he's doing, and he gave us the ability to manage it. See, you know what our problem is? We stop thinking. Somewhere along the trip, we hung our brains out someplace and forgot them. We're supposed to think. But little kids now are seeing this. You laughed because you had not seen it before, but little kids who watch cartoons see this. Isaiah 45:18 says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be what? Inhabited. Did you see that? That's what the Bible says. God says inhabit the earth. What does inhabit mean? Anyone? Come on. What does inhabit mean? Populate the earth. At what point, listen, at what point do we stop inhabiting the earth? How many should we have? What's the number? Whatever we say, we're going to be wrong. Well, I've got a number. Well, that's your number. I have a different number. Whose number's right? No number's right. God is the one who presides over it all. People are born and people die. Who governs that? God does. What's man trying to do? Manage that himself. Okay, ready for the next slide? Or the next video? CNN. You're going to have to pay super close attention to this. I know this. You've been sitting for a long time. You got to hear this. Please, please focus very hard. Listen to key words. Listen to words that are used and assumptions that are made. Listen carefully. Because those of you who are in college, I'm going to say those of you who are, say, 25 and under, you're going to miss 90% of this. Because you've already fallen for the cartoon we showed earlier. Seriously, listen to this. Okay, sorry, you guys. You ready?
World leaders meet to talk about combating climate change in Copenhagen. Some people say that population control is, at the end of the day, the only real way to fight it. The Chinese instituted a policy limiting the number of children each family can have 30 years ago. And they claim that since that time, they have prevented 400 million births and saved carbon emissions to the tune of 18 million tons a year. And it's not just the Chinese. There's a piece in the Canadian newspaper, the Financial Post, suggesting the real inconvenient truth is that humans are overpopulating the world. It suggests every nation should adopt China's one-child policy, because if we don't control the Earth's population, we will eventually destroy or run out of everything, from other species to vegetation, resources, the atmosphere, oceans, water supply, and it doesn't matter whether the globe heats up or doesn't. The piece points out that despite China's dirty coal plants, it is a world leader in creating policy to combat the destruction of the environment. One study shows, this is interesting, that if from now on, starting today, every woman had only one child, the world's population would actually decline from 6.5 billion now to 5.5 billion by 2050. But if we do nothing, the population could soar to an unsustainable 9 billion people during that same time. Needless to say, there are a lot of folks who disagree vehemently with the idea of population control, fundamentalist leaders, people who oppose birth control, and politicians from many of the emerging economies. But nevertheless, that's our question. Should mandatory population control become a part of the fight against global warming? It's too many people, especially in New York. A writes from Oregon, pretty extreme, Jack. However, in the near future, that's certainly a consideration that many nations must make. When food, water, and critical medical services are in short supply, fewer people makes a lot of sense. consider the enormous drain a family of eight has on society and the community, and yet the state and federal governments reward huge families with benefits and tax breaks. Richard writes, wow, Jack, thanks very much. Finally, someone in the media has the guts to state the obvious. Everything you said's true, but you were too gentle. It needs shouting out. The fundamentalists and others opposed to population control have had their way for too long. Sean in Belvedere, Illinois, morally, there are better ways of fighting global warming than infanticide. But sadly, this method makes more sense than carbon credits. Jay writes, absolutely, every year we have deer hunting season with the argument that if we don't control the deer population, they'll overbreed and starve to death. Why can't these John and Kate and Octomom people see that the same biological mathematics applies to humans? On a planet of finite resources, you cannot just keep producing an ever-growing pool of consumers and still expect the whole thing will work. Paul in Toronto says, Jack, humans, like the H1N1 virus, are a virus, and if we don't get ourselves under control, Mother Earth will eventually create her own vaccine and destroy us all in order to protect herself. Sebastian in Ann Arbor, Michigan, finally, it's about time we started talking about this. As an only child, the son of an only child, and the parent of none, I say if you want more than one kid, then pay for it. A tax seems reasonable. Those who adopt would be exempt.
Sebastian in Ann Arbor is extinct. That's what he's talking about. Did you hear those words? Everybody knows this. We're in a world where we are already out of food and water and supplies and medicines. Are we really? Do you hear the crisis talk? Absolute lies. But that's what's being taught in our schools, taught to our young people. There's no more water. We're out of air. There's no more land. We're in deep trouble. It's all imploding unless we save it. Absolutely an affront to the Word of God and God's ability to sustain. For them to say that this is how it's to be. When that one man said, well, you know, having to decide who lives and who dies, you know, it's kind of sad, but it's certainly the way that we're going to have to be going. Mandatory population control, like China? Since when is China the leading nation on environmental achievements? Remarkable. That is a worldview. And you saw it on CNN, and it flowed off their mouth. As a matter of fact, and you saw, I counted 15 today, putting that together, I counted 15 lies, but no one will dare question. It's on CNN. It's remarkable. You guys, let's all stand. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Job 38, and this is how we're going to end. Job 38. If you don't know where it is, close your Bible and open it right in the middle and go left just a little bit. I would love to have God open the sky right now and read this to the world. Job 38, follow along if you would. I'll read it to you. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel? This is God speaking to Job. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, that's the angels rejoicing at physical creation. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, the thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. You ever think about that? How God holds the ocean back within a couple of feet every night, every day? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked, their light is withheld and upraised arm is broken. You have entered Or have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Can you imagine Job? His knees were knocking, I bet. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths of its home? Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? But what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt? Ooh, I like that, huh? To cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Those are constellations. Or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth? It's the word Maseroth in Babylonian is zodiac. In its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? He's talking about the celestial heavens over our head tonight. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the earth, or to the heart, excuse me? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven? When the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together, can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait, who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? And he goes on into chapter 39. It's amazing. He talks about all the things he does for nature. He does it all. This is the God of your Bible. You need to know him. If you don't know him, you need to stop playing with silly things and understand what the will of the Lord is. The world is fast track going to where? We don't know, but I can guess. Insanity is at the end without God. Do you have Christ in your life? This God, the creator of the universe and all that you and I behold so wonderfully, it is the God who made salvation for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in part 3 of What is Environmentalism? A study on how to approach environmental issues through our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. And we will continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know there are a lot of resources available from Pastor Jack and the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website? We've got devotions and sermons. We've got video. We've got audio. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's a whole bunch going on there. Let me just click from the homepage real quick. Check this out. Video, radio, devotions, resources, louisianahelp.com, MP3 audio, USB, Engage California. There is a ton of stuff that you should look into at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Go check that out when you get a chance. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.